we are losing all our freedoms and liberties. And everything is coming to with one purpose. The pandemic, the different laws, they all point to world control. Now, I want to tell you about liberty. And the text, the main text is found in James 2:12. It says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." So God is fair. He judges by a law of liberty. And we're going to find out what is a law of liberty. But before that, I'll tell you a story. How many of you has been in New York? Have you seen the Statue of Liberty? Have you visited? Okay. So the Statue of Liberty, which in French, the words in French, I won't. Can you read the word in French? That means liberty, enlightening the world. It's a colossal neoclassical sculpture on Liberty Island in New York Harbor, which within New York City. Although the New Jersey state claims that island is, they say, is theirs. But this is located in the United States. The copper statue, a gift from the people of France to the people of the United States, was designed by French sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi. And its metal frame, it was built by Gustave Eiffel. Does it sound familiar, Eiffel? It's the same engineer that did the Eiffel Tower. The statue was dedicated on October 28, 1886. So, guess who read the news on the paper? Ellen G. White. She was alive when that was dedicated. The statue is a figure of Libertas, a Robert Roman liberty goddess. She holds a torch above her head, which is right hand, and in her left hand it carries a tabula ansata inscribed July 4, 1876. What happened in July 4, 1876? That date of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. A broken shackle and a chain lay at her feet as she walks forward. 1776. Yes, correct. Commemorating the recent national abolition of slavery. So there is at her feet there is a broken shackle commemorating the abolition of slavery. After its dedication, the statue became an icon of freedom and of the United States, seen as a symbol of welcome to immigrants arriving by sea. Now, when the statue was put on Ellis Island, and then the migrants will come in the boat and they see the first statue, they didn't come looking for freedom. They were kind of just escaping famine and a better life and so forth. Really, those who came escaping from freedom were the pilgrims. The pilgrims came, and 11 years after the pilgrims arrived, there came a man from England, a pastor, Roger Williams. And he found in America that the colonies had made a strict religious laws that if somebody don't go to church, he will be fined and put in jail. So there was no freedom of religion. So he opposed it and advocated to the point that he was kicked out of the colonies. So he went into a place that with some... He was a friend of some Indians, and by the way, he defended the Indians' right, and he says that they were people with souls, and dignity and respect. So he went with his friends, the Indians, and he is known today as the founder of Rhode Island. So Rhode Island was a place of freedom for those who believed that church and state should not enforce any religious laws. And later on, when the Declaration of Independence was written, in which there are religious freedom and absolute separation of church and state, it was all because of Roger Williams. He was the first one. So, praise the Lord. He was a pastor in England. He graduated from a school, Presbyterian school, or the Church of England, one of those two. And in America, he was a rebel, like you and I are a rebel. He rebelled against the Mother Church because of the wrongdoings, and he found the First Baptist Church. So another thing is that he teaches baptism by immersion, not by aspersion. So that was William Roberts. So I really believe that God was with him, and because he was fighting for the right, and he didn't accept just because he was told to do. He wanted to follow the Bible. Now, what is the biblical memorial of liberty? United States has a statue in New York. Do Christians have a memorial? Yes, absolutely. In James 2:12 it says, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." We have a law that is of liberty. And I know you know the law by heart, but we're going to repeat it again. And this is what it says. Exodus 20, verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me." So how many gods shall we have before God? None. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Amen. Now, I was at a school of public health right here, not too far from here. And a professor says, "Well, no, the Roman Church doesn't have idols. It's just an icon that pointed to Jesus." Well, that's a stretching, because people bow down to him. We should be careful. God says not to bow down to him, and it says because God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation. Why is it that we inherit diseases? Why is it that we inherited tendencies? It's because of the sin of our parents. And so, nonetheless, I may have certain inclinations, I still have to die to self. I myself have to die to self. It says here, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold his guiltless that take his name in vain." I hear, well, don't say the word God when you are cursing or when you hurt your finger. Somebody says, "Oh my, G, oh my," that's taking God's name in vain. But really taking God's name in vain is because you are called after his name and you misrepresent him. That is really taking his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is the Sabbath day? The seventh day of the week. Because the sixth day of the week is it called in the Bible what? Friday? The Bible doesn't call it Friday. The preparation day. What is it, the preparation day for the? For the Sabbath. Yes, so remember, and this is the commandment that explicitly, as with the strength, says, remember. My children don't like me when I repeat things. They said, Daddy, you already told us 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. I said, thank you. Now it's 101 time. And why do you keep repeating it? Because I want that to be so engraved in your mind that you will never forget it. Daddy, I know that. Good. I don't want it to forget that. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many of the week are holy? One. How many of the days are good? How many of the days are blessed? 7 days. But how many are holy? One. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strange that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, why did the Lord hallow it? Because he rested. He doesn't get tired. You know why he rested? Because he just created Adam and Eve on Friday, the last thing of the creation, the crown of the creation. And now he wants a day that he can date with them and give them instructions. Some, I hear in church that Saturday was a honeymoon for Adam and Eve. No. It was a day in which God wanted to give him instructions. He met with them. It was a special date. You know, I went down to Colombia with two purposes. One, to visit my dad and talk about Jesus and make sure that he's leaning toward him. Secondly, I went to marry my brother. My brother Giovanni, he was here one time, or several times. And I entitled my presentation on the wedding. You have to help me, sister. A cord of three strings. The three bound cord is not easily broken, and it's because they are marrying two, but the third is God. And if you have God at the head of the home, that marriage is not going to break easily. As long as man and woman has a will, there is a risk that they may go away from God. But God is the insurance. And the funny thing is, my brother says, I don't believe in God. I'm not a Christian. I say, but I'm a pastor. He says, well, you are welcome to say whatever you want to say. I say, well, this is what I'm going to tell you. So, we are happy. So, in the Sabbath day, nobody should do any work or anything of our own. And you know, what I have found today very, very difficult is this. Where is it? My phone. You know, because when on the Sabbath, sometimes I get the Bible, you know, and I have to get on the internet. But when I'll get there, I had to bypass the news. And all of a sudden, there's something interesting. And I, Sabbath. Sometimes I miss and I click, and oh no, I shouldn't do that. God wants all our attention, all our mind to Him. What would you do if you are dating your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, and you are sitting together, and she's so into you, and you are checking on the internet? What is she going to feel? I don't want God to be left out. No. So I had to pray a lot for this. You know, God rebuke him. Yes. Yes. Honor, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment, I took it very seriously. I did an extra effort, and I know it's by God's grace. All the honor is for God. But I took care of my parents the best that I could. Maybe I could have done better. But because I claimed the promise, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And you know, God has given me health, has given me a long life. I never been in the street. I never had begged for food. I have always abundance of things. So God has been extra good to me. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. I haven't killed anybody. I don't have a weapon. But I tell you this. When somebody damage unnecessarily somebody's reputation, you kill, how do you call that? Character assassination. And you know what? There was one time in which here in the pulpit, a speaker started talking about somebody of importance in the Adventist church. And I raised my hand. I said, Pastor, you, where is your documentation? Oh, well, everybody knows. I said, did you call him and talk to him? No. He's not going to answer. I said, did you call his secretary? No, I couldn't. I said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but you are in danger of committing the sin of character assassination. And I felt so bad because it was in public. But we should protect somebody else's character. It doesn't matter, we disagree 100% with that person. We should be careful. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, we apply that to the marriage or actually that covers any immorality, anything. But God also called adultery when we left him, spiritual fornication. When we know that Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and we claim to be part of the church, and we look to the devil. How you ladies feel when your husband or your boyfriend turn their look into some other girl passing by? How do you think the Lord is going to feel? You're cheating. So we should not cheat Jesus. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know that we can have a false witness by keeping quiet and letting a lie go by without clarifying it. We say, well, I didn't say anything. But if because you and I didn't say anything, people will not know the truth. So we need to be careful. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, not his manservant, not his maidservant, not his ox, not his ass, not anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, we are talking about the memorial of liberty, the law of God. How do we know the law is of liberty? Well, the law says, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It's really restricting me. So, what kind of liberty is the law talking about? There is a purpose for it. There is a purpose. It says in Galatians 3:24-29, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law points to Christ. It's the law only tells us what is happening right here and bringing us into the need of Jesus Christ. And it continues, that we might be justified by faith. In other words, to be free from sin. But after that faith is come, who came? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus and the faith of Jesus. We are no longer under the schoolmaster. So the schoolmaster fulfilled the work. The law fulfilled the work by doing what? Bringing us into Christ. Remember the definition that was read in Sabbath school? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and had the faith of Jesus. So, those commandments point to Jesus, and Jesus enable us to keep the commandments. That's how it goes. Many of the Jews, they were thinking that they kept the commandment without the faith of Jesus, without the faith of God. And that's why they were in the world. And they didn't recognize it. It continues. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the law pointed us, bring us to Jesus, so Jesus can give us his faith, and then we become children of God. Do you know that only children of God can be saved? Only the children of God. That's why in Revelation 7, it says that the 144,000 are made of 12,000 of every tribe. And when you go to the New Jerusalem, you and I, we're going to go through one door. And all the 12 gates have the name of one of the children of Abraham. Only the children of Abraham can go through. But we are children of Abraham by faith. So, we need Jesus for that. For as many of you are being baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. So, you and I, we are Abraham's seed. By the promise. Now, this perfect law of liberty give us freedom, and this freedom is shown by serving God. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So, either we obey Satan or we obey God. We serve Satan or we serve God. Remember that we cannot be on our own because in our own we have no strength whatsoever. Without God, Satan will take us. It's his right. He will take us. We cannot say no to Satan and not to Jesus. Vulnerable. So, we need to choose the right side. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In other words, as we are servants of sin, we are free, free from God, but a slave to Satan. It's very dangerous. So we are not on our own. So the results of freedom in God, Romans 6, 22 and 23, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Yes, by being servants of Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is very simple. Salvation is very simple. Choose Jesus. Walk with him. Talk to him. Freedom from the bondage of corruption. Romans 8, 19 to 21. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we don't have any choice. We have to choose Jesus, or we are not safe. Romans 6, 8, 18 and 22. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So, being a servant of righteousness is being free. Free from sin. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. Romans 6:20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. So if we are servants of sin, we are free from God. It means we are not under his dominion. Now, we spoke that the lies of schoolmaster that bring us into Jesus. And he's comparing the Bible as a mirror. James 1, 23 to 25. For if any of the hearers of this word, and if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and the glass of the mirror. So the natural man is the old man, the sinful one. He is looking into his own face, and he is like a hearer and not doer. It's like from here and come out the other side. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgot that he was in sin. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be a blessed in his deeds. So, you know, by the lies the knowledge of sin. And that's why I know I have trespassed God's will. And it tells me what I have trespassed, and then take me to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit bring me and put in my heart to confess the sins and repent. And then Jesus will wash my sins with his blood, and once I'm clean, he covers me with the robe of righteousness, his righteousness. So when God the Father look at me, he looked that I'm dressed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because he sees Jesus' name all over me. And I'm justified. And James 1, 23 and 25 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding the natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be a blessed in his deeds. Now, If the Ten Commandments is a law of liberty, we need a liberator. Remember George Washington? He's supposed to have liberated the country from the yoke of the English. And who is liberating us from the yoke of sin? Let's see what the Word of God says. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Oh, we are here to know the truth. The truth shall make us free from sin. Now, Jesus identified himself, and the next verse, he says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's a guarantee. In John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What about Buddha? No. Then in verse 33 of John 8, it says, they answer him. No, you know, the Jews have a rebuttal. "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage of any man." Were they really in no bondage of any man? See, that's kind of crazy, because the Romans, they have it under their thumb. In Egypt. Yes. I don't know why they, and they asked him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Now sayest thou, ye shall be made free? What are we going to get free from? We are not in bondage. You know, it seems when my children answer me back, you know, when I'm telling them the truth, there is no purpose. Now, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily." Do you think that is important when Jesus repeat, "Verily, verily"? Yeah. "I said unto you, whosoever committed sin is servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." So let's not be servants of sin, be the sons of God. Now Jesus positively affirmed who is the liberator. Verse 36 of John 8. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, these shall be free indeed." That's what Jesus came for. And we're going to see it next. Jesus make a declaration, the most beautiful declaration of liberty. In Luke 4, 16 to 20. "And he came to Nazareth, where he has been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" Who is the Lord? The Father. "The Spirit of the Father is upon me." Some people say that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. I don't see it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he had anointed me." Who anointed Jesus? When did he anoint him for the ministry? And the baptism. And he came from the God, from the Father. So it wasn't Jesus, as some people pretend. "And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to whom?" To the poor. And we're going to read in a minute how Isaiah described the same situation. "He has sent me to heal the..." Is there anyone here brokenhearted today? Is there anyone going to a mourning process? I believe so. God came to heal the brokenhearted. Because he is going to throw death and hell into the lake of fire forever. To preach deliverance to the captives. Is there anyone captive today? Is there a habit that we cannot shake off, that we know is shameful? He came to deliver us. And recovering of sight of the blind. Perhaps, you know, this is the biggest need of the church today, the Laodicean church. They're blind. It says, by eye salve, so they can see. Because they don't see their condition. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Have you come out of a tremendous fight of the devil that he left you mangled all together and bruised and beaten? God came to set you at liberty, those who are bruised by Satan, to preach the accept. And then when he started saying that he came to preach the gospel to the poor, and then he continues, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the second coming, and the judgment day. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So, the gospel. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so, what was the purpose of Jesus on this text? First, to heal the brokenhearted. Second, to preach deliverance to the captives. Third, to recover the sight of the blind. And fourth, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is the gospel in practice. It's not just preaching. It's doing it. Rescuing people. And let's read what the book of Isaiah, what was the quote that Jesus read? Let's read it. It says in Isaiah 61, 1 to 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings into the poor. So, following the rule, the Bible rules, line upon line, precept upon precept, the meek and the poor are the same. And it's meek and the spirit. Poor and the spirit. Those who are ready to receive the gospel. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Brother Cruz, my condolences. This is your family. We are with you. We've been praying with you. I know you lost your brother. But, hey, we got Jesus. Hold to it. Hold to it. And we are here to be with you. He's holding on. Oh, I hear that we had lost it. But I was too close. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to have... but as a matter of fact, let's all kneel right now. Precious Father in heaven, there is a still life in Adrian, and we commend it in your hands, only for your honor and glory. Lord, we want you to be praised, and your will is so precious to us. Lord, we want life, but we ask, according to your will, that you be merciful. Lord, that a soul may be saved into heaven while we see the power of the highest. Father, in your hands we commend Adrian, in your hands. For in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is only one thing that I want in my life, is the will of God. God has a date for me to be put to rest if he doesn't want me to stay alive for his second coming. But I don't want to die before his date, because his day is perfect. It's the day of my salvation. So I have to take care of myself and don't commit suicide. One day at a time. Yes, praise the Lord. So we are reading in Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, those who cry and sigh between the porch and the altar, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you know who the oil of joy is, the Holy Spirit. You know the garment of praise is the robe of righteousness, that they might be called tree of righteousness. That's the name of the garment. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. It's talking about 144,000 right here. Now, a word of caution. And I'm going to borrow 5 minutes just to finish this. Word of caution, 2 Peter 2:1-19. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So these people brings winds of doctrines. Are we exposed to winds of doctrines? Verse 19, while they promised them liberty. One thing in common to all the winds of doctrine is, if you don't believe like I believe, you're lost. So I come to give you liberty, but you have to believe like I believe. Be careful. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. You know, by their fruit ye shall know them. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of what? Well, Satan has his ministers to come like righteous pastors, teaching, keep the Sabbath, this and that. But by their fruits ye shall know them, who shall be according to their works, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, that liberty that we have in Christ is not like many Christians preach. They said, oh, are you under grace or under the law? Oh, we are under grace. Oh, you don't have to keep the law. So, as long as you accept Jesus Christ, you can go fornicating, you can go adulterating, you can go killing. Praise the Lord. So one safe is not always safe. You gotta have Jesus in the heart. So it says Galatians 5:13-14. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If somebody says, give me the Ten Commandments, and you, I only remember 5. No. Given this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the whole law. That's it. You don't love your neighbor, you don't keep the law. you don't love God. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein with Christ had made us free, and be no entangled against with the yoke of bondage. Paul says that because he was compelled to continue keeping the feast and all traditions of Judaizing and so forth. He says no. Now, I'm going to leave with a promise. Romans 8:11-15. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. What is the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit that came from God the Father. If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage against to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. So if it's not the spirit of bondage, he is the spirit of liberty. Romans 6:20. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And at the end, God will declare, when he sees the great group coming into the city, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have and the faith of Jesus. Now, will the congregation rise for the blessing and the prayer? Let's bow our heads. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Loving Father in heaven, we want to give you honor and glory. And we want to honor the memorial of liberty. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice for our Lord Jesus Christ, our liberator. And thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that bring us to Jesus and to show us in the mirror of the law what is our fault, to confess and repent. Thank you, Lord, because we cannot do it in ourselves. The Holy Spirit put in our hearts the will and the doing according to your grace. Bless us, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.